So the title of the talk is Taking Refuge in Another Way of Seeing. And as I said, it's a beautiful thing that you're all here, and a beautiful thing that the teachings have arrived in the Western world and are available. And it's taken a few thousand years for them to get here. But they're here, and you're enjoying them, and they're so big these days. Next month, I've been invited to give a workshop in the Parliament in Britain on how to use Dharma to work with conflict. And just 2 days ago, I hear that they cancelled this invitation, which is okay. They really need it. Chaval ma'od, that they didn't. But I think it will still happen, but maybe another time. But it just shows a readiness and also a hunger and a need for another way of looking at things. And it's really important that we feel that. And another indication, which is amazing and surprising, is that in the last couple of years, I've been around to about 30 pubs and bars in Israel giving talks. And it's just so beautiful to have this opportunity that I couldn't have imagined like 20, 30 years ago, to talk to young people and to give another view and to give some hope and to give some even directions that there is other things, other directions, and life is not just a whole lot of money, buying, screens, struggle, conflict, no meaning, and the feeling that there's a real hole here. There's something deeply missing. So we are, as human beings, we do feel that. I think there's more of a crisis today with young people, especially growing up in this world now. But we're all human beings, and we all have a sense deeply that we're lacking something, that something is missing. Chaser lanu, chasach lanu mashu. And it's natural, and I'm sure that the ants in the road and the dogs passing by, if you ask them, is life perfect? And they would probably say, well, where's my next meal coming from? And we feel that naturally that life is going to be better somewhere else. That if we can just make a change, then life will be all right. I just need to find somewhere else, and then I can feel totally at home and rest, and everything would be fine somewhere else. The Buddha taught that we have a different, we have a possibility for a different way of looking at things. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, I was driving into Tel Aviv, and all the way I just felt bad. The whole place was nothing but jifa. It was just a jifa place. The concrete and the cars and the people and the dirt and the city and the pressure and the money and the... And then I said, no, wait a minute, I can't afford to be that place. I have to make a shift. And she made a shift in her mind, and suddenly she saw the place full of magic and beauty and the people with light in their eyes and life. And this shift is possible at any time, at any moment. It's a bit like the image I have in mind is in ways, in the program in ways, which I don't use really very much. But I notice that if you go in the wrong direction, Waze goes blip and then sends you off in another direction. It just does another chishuv and you're somewhere else. And I feel we need this blip. We need to say, okay, blip, we'll go off there. And it's not the old, tiring, ordinary struggle. It's another place. So we need to find a place which is deeply at home. Makom kadosh. A miflat. And we cannot find this home in conditions which change all the time. Nesibot. They're constantly changing. They'll be good for us 1 minute and not another minute. We'll be happy 1 minute, we'll be sad the next, we will have something 1 minute, we will lose it the next minute. We'll be healthy 1 minute, we'll be sick another minute. We'll be alive 1 minute and we'll be dead another minute. That's the nature of existence. And so we can't feel, we can't have that, our home, depending on conditions. Because we tend to do that, then we see life as a struggle. Because we're always depending on conditions to be what we want them to be, then we are in a Sisyphi struggle with life, trying to control the uncontrollable. We cannot control life. So we find ourselves not at home, struggling to control life and make it better and improve and go to cheder kosher and make us better and make life better. And it's non-stop, every day, every day. And so is there a home which is, you know, like a tortoise, kamo tzav, which is with us all the time, which we're there all the time, never mind what conditions, never mind what happens. Is there? Think about it. What would that be for you? Think about it right now. Where would that be for you? A home which would never, ever be taken away. And never mind what happened in life. And just think, if you found that home, that would be the end of struggle. No more struggle. What would it be for you? So I'm really inspired by the last words, not exactly the last words, but nearly the last words of the Buddha before he died. And he basically said, you have to create a home for yourselves. And the text, the traditional text, it says, monks, he's talking all the time to his group, to his monks, to his Nazirim. Be islands to yourselves. Be a refuge, miflat, to yourselves, with no other refuge. Let the Dharma be your island. Let the Dharma be your refuge, with no other refuge. And how do you do that? How does someone stay with, like an island, to himself? And the answer is, he stays looking at the body as the body, seeing clearly with energy, aware, mindful, leaving aside the worries and concerns for the world. He sees feelings as feelings. He sees thought as thought, leaving aside the worries and concerns for the world. He sees insights as insights, Dharma as Dharma. So this is quite radical. But the first thing is the Buddha talked about an island, to be an island. And it's important. So despite everything I've said, I'm now going to say the opposite. And the Dharma is like that. The Dharma is not linear. It includes itself and the opposite. But in the Buddhist teaching, it is helpful to create conditions that will give you a sense of being an island. So it's not that you can be, at least in the beginning of the journey, totally independent of conditions of life, nisibot. There is a encouragement, yes, to build certain beneficial, helpful conditions. And this is exactly what a retreat is doing. A retreat is an agreement between us that we will create conditions that are helpful for our finding our deep home. Conditions still are not the whole story. It's helpful at the beginning. The word viveka is something important, which is a sense of being an island, a sense of sitting down quietly in your own life, a sense of sitting under a tree, of taking viveka. One of the translations of viveka is solitude. Yes, it is important. The Buddha was saying again and again, be careful of the consensus mind, the mind of the crowd, the edder, the herd. Be careful of really of believing what you read in the newspapers on television. Be careful of giving authority to people and to teachers and to books and so on. Be careful. Be an island. Be with yourself. See the truth in your life. So there is a quality of changing conditions that are helpful. But they're not always, they're limited. And most of you have heard this story before, but I can't help telling it again because it's just such a good story, which comes from Christopher, who is a teacher of many of us. And he was saying that when he was a monk, one of the monks arrived in the monastery after 19 years. And this monk had 19 years before said, I'm going off to a cave for 20 years and I will not see a soul during this time. So he came back after 19 years and all the monks said, wow, what happened to you? Did you reach enlightenment? And why did you come back 1 year before you said? And how was it? And the monk answered, complete waste of time. Bis Busman, the Gamre. Why? He said, I was alone in the cave in my body, but my mind was absolutely full of other people all the time and other things and what I'm missing and what they're doing and what's happening in the world. And so the Buddha pointed out that there is a deeper home than conditions. And this is in seeing ourselves clearly. Hitpakhut, to open the eyes, to settle down into awareness, to see ourselves in a new way. And it includes the struggle and the difficulty and what is missing in our life. It includes that. It doesn't avoid it. But it's looking at things in a different way. So instead of feeding the struggle and feeding the problem and giving importance and weight to what's missing in my life and putting it up there on the stage, on the bama, and saying, this is what's missing and this is what I need and I don't have it and I want to get it and I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to control this. We don't feed it anymore. We just know that it's there as one part of the picture of being a human being. And it's important for you right now in this beginning of a retreat. We are not avoiding any problems here. And you may just this evening have a backache and feel uncomfortable and feel tired and feel, oh, well, the retreat, I'm not starting the retreat well because I don't feel comfortable. No. Anything that happens to us is chomagelim, is the food for awareness. And that's the shift in the view. Instead of struggling against life, we are receiving life and looking at it directly, begova inayim. And then life doesn't disturb us anymore because it's just there expressing itself and we are there looking at the visitors as they arise and as they come in. And this is sense, this ability to sense our life instead of just trying to control things, the ability to stand in the middle of our life at home with whatever arises, letting it come and go in awareness, is the Buddhist phrase, taking refuge in the Buddha, to find our home in the Buddha. Why the Buddha? The Buddha simply means consciousness or awareness. We find our home in awareness instead of the conditions of life. And that's a home that nobody can take away from us. It will be, if we're there, we will be at home all our life. We can be at home also in the truth of things, in what we see, in what we know. And I'll give an example. Asaf, before supper, talked about the beauty of dana. But the beauty of dana is based on the understanding that we are in relationship. We are in relationship. As Asaf said, the tree breathes out and we breathe in. We are made of the world. We are made of carbon and hydrogen and oxygen, like everything. The world is in us and we are in the world. The water of the seas is in our veins, in our blood. So if we really see that as an insight that comes through seeing our life, we'll feel connected to everything. And if we're connected to everything, nothing can disturb us. Who is there to be disturbed? We feel that in relationship, in understanding that we are in relationship to everything, to each other as human beings, to the sky and the earth, to the trees and the water, to all living beings, we're in relationship. We're one stream of life. If we understand that, nothing can disturb us anymore. We'll be at home because the world and us is one thing. And it's an important insight to recognize our interrelation with it. And then when we feel so connected, then there's no one to control anything. Who is controlling whom? So here's an insight which we can also help us to be at home, taking refuge in the Dharma. This is taking refuge in the Dharma. We can take refuge in the Sangha. The Sangha is this retreat. We support each other in this retreat, which is really lovely. I think if you ask here, what is it that is in our heart that we wish for each other? We might say, I wish for each other to be the best person that we could be. Each of us here might say, I wish the other one to be the best, the highest you can be. You might feel that. I want everyone here to be the best, to be the highest, to be awake, awakened. You don't, I'm sure we don't have a sense that we want everyone else not to be enlightened and just me to be enlightened. We're for each other here. This is the agreement that we have between us that keeps us in this retreat. We're not in competition, we're not in struggle with each other, we're not trying to against each other. We're for each other here. Just by some basic agreement to join the retreat, we're already for each other. And that's Sangha, that's taking refuge in the Sangha. So the Buddha taught that something really important, we find our home in the basis or the essence of our experience. We don't find it in conditions of life, we don't find it somewhere else. We find liberation in the heart of experience, not in somewhere else that will be better somewhere else or sometime else. It's in the heart of experience we can find our freedom. And so our task here in this retreat is just to get close to our experience, to get intimate with what we really experience moment by moment, to join, to feel intimate with our experience in the moment, instead of struggling against it. And we find that things just happen and things will arrive. We just had a nice meal. Are we struggling to digest the meal? I hope not. If so, tell the cooks. But it's happening. The body is digesting food. It's not a struggle. The body is doing what it knows to do. The mind is doing what it knows to do. The thoughts are coming and going as they know what they need to do. Everything is happening by itself. So we just need to be intimate with this, to close with it, to see this life as it's arising with kindness. And if we do that, we keep arriving back home again and again, intimate with our experience, intimate with the world around. We find our home everywhere. So I want to finish with a well-known quote from Rumi, who said, I kept knocking on the door to heaven. Eventually it opened, and I realized I was already on the inside. So let's take a couple of quiet moments.